We're going to focus today on the sixth and the last request of the Lord's Prayer. There's more to the Lord's Prayer that we'll focus on, Lord willing, next time. The sixth and the last request of the Lord's Prayer is, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And it is good, as we have done with the other petitions, especially to keep in mind the whole tenor of the Lord's Prayer, the whole focus, the scene, as it were, is approaching our Father, who is the King, who's enthroned here. We saw earlier the petitions or the phrases, "In heaven and hallowed be thy name and thy kingdom come," that the disciple here comes with the attitude of a servant or a disciple whose deepest concern, actually his first concern, is not for himself, not coming with selfish petitions, but first for God's glory, being made into a true worshiper, a worshiper who loves God, who's loyal to him above all else, wants the Lord to be honored. And then we've even also looked at how all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, they're actually not in the singular. They're not "help me" or "give me." They're actually, give us this day our daily bread. And they are like this one: "Lead us not into temptation." These are not at all in any way selfish requests. First, actually, in view is God's honor and God's glory. And then second, what is in view is actually the whole community of the church, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, as we come to the theme of spiritual warfare and the struggle with sin and Satan and flesh in the world, it becomes doubly important to remember who the fatherly King is that we are addressing. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of gods, Lord of lords, just how powerful and how sovereign he is. And picture now one coming, praying to him like a foot soldier in an army, coming with a request to the King, praying that this King would actually lead, shepherd, guide them in good paths as an army, or as his church, just like the Old Testament picture of the Old Testament kings who were to be like shepherd kings. Well, today we're going to look at this under the theme "Praying for the Father's Guidance." First, we will look at his leading. First, his leading, praying for his leading, and second, praying for his deliverance. First, the leading of the Father. Some people get confused by this whole phrase. They wonder, what does this mean? It says God asking God not to lead us into temptation. They hear that and they wonder, does it hint, does it imply that God could lead us into sin? Is God in some way a tempter, or does he somehow lead his people towards sin? No, that would actually contradict other passages, and it's not the sense here at all, as we'll see in a moment. But one passage that would certainly be contradicted by that idea is James 1, verse 13 and 14. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed." And so that definition of temptation, the idea of being lured to a sin, you think of a sin or a lust being like a lure, a shiny piece of bait that a fish might go after. The Lord God is not at all involved in that kind of temptation. You have to understand that the word temptation in the Bible, it's broader than that, and it's actually, in its root meaning, more neutral than you might think of it. It's best to think of this word temptation probably more in the realm of what you might think of as a test. A test is not necessarily good or evil. It can be neutral in itself, or often, actually, a test is a good thing. You could think of when you get a new product, or maybe you're trying something out at a dealer or whatever it may be. You're trying out a car, you take it for a test drive. Or if you buy a new tool, you look forward to testing it out. Or a test at school, even though that might be challenging, and even though the children may not like a test very much, it's actually a proving ground. It's an opportunity. It's a chance to practice what you have learned. And so when we think of this temptation, think more of "lead us not into a test that would be too difficult for us and that would lead to danger." You can think, for example, actually the same word in the Greek version of the Old Testament is used when God tested Abraham in Genesis 22. God called Abram to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice his only son. Now, we know that in the end, the Lord's purpose was to provide a lamb and to teach Abram a lesson, but it was a test where God was not at all tempting Abram to sin. There was nothing evil about the test, and in the end, the test would have a very good purpose. That was to prove Abram's faith, to prove his obedience to the Lord, his God, and to show God's glory in the end, that he trusted his word. And many of the difficult circumstances that you run across in your life, though they may seem negative and bad to you, may very well, in God's providence and in his power, have that same kind of purpose. And so think of the tests of Abraham or later in the wilderness and Mount Sinai that God's people were tested, and God's tests can be very, very difficult. And what we pray here is, Father, do not lead us into a temptation that would be too hard to handle. Please don't lead us into a situation where the sequence of events would lead us right to the edge of a cliff or some place where we might fall off and fall into sin. Perhaps it's easiest to understand this with the Old Testament metaphor and New Testament as well of a sheep being led by a shepherd. It's asking, Lord, please be my shepherd. Guide me in spiritually safe places. Keep me that I may not sin against you. And it takes admitting, actually praying this, lead us not to temptation. It actually takes admitting a certain vulnerability, a weakness. The end of Psalm 119 says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. It's a prayer for guidance. And it's interesting when you think of it, the Lord Jesus also faced even himself these kinds of tests. Think of in the wilderness before his ministry, Matthew chapter 6, or sort of Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is, or also as he came to the cross in Gethsemane, he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26:39. See, it's natural and it's human. Even the Lord Jesus in his humanity shuddered, we could say, or filled with fear and wanted to avoid very, very difficult test. And it's good in our humanity that we admit our creatureliness and that we would pray even for escape in times like we're going through right now, maybe escape from a virus or a condition or economic hardship. When we go through those tests, we should be praying this prayer the Lord Jesus Christ did in his great times of need. So should you ultimately pray for the Lord God's leadings. Now, as we think of these tests or temptations, we have to realize they can come in various ways. You can read through the whole Bible or think through the history of God's people, Noah, Abram, others. We've been touching on various ones in the morning services. There were many, many times that God's people lived through and lived with adversity, where there were hunger, times of hunger or famine or persecutions or even sickness. And one of the dangers was that in those times, God's people could end up rebelling. They certainly did in the wilderness over and over and over, that when they encountered hardship, they tried to find easier and better ways out. And that's one of the great dangers of a test. Don't underestimate that a hard trial, even a sickness, it can lead to bitterness and murmuring in your own heart, and it can start causing, in a way, or not it actually causing, it can start you rationalizing, allowing your heart to go in a bad direction, excusing your sin, wandering further and further and falling into sin. And we have to be very careful about this, that in harder times, we ought not to rationalize sinful behavior. And we only have ourselves to blame if we slip into sin in a hard time. But then also prosperity can be a situation of testing. In the Old Testament, you think of Solomon as a sad example of this. He had peace, he had security, he had his kingdom, his victory, he had power, he had this great intelligence. He had it all. And then he fell into sin. His wives tempted him. He went after other gods. And there's these two sides of temptation that can come. Times of persecution or hardship or difficulty, And then also times of prosperity. There was a man named Agur. He wrote Proverbs chapter 30, and he says there, "Give me neither poverty nor riches," was his prayer. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." You see, he saw that there's more than one kind of test. It could be the tests that look very good through our human eyes. Times when things seem to go so smoothly can actually be a test. Be careful in those times. And then times where it's really difficult and hard and there's all kinds of challenges, those also can be a test and can end up profaning the name of the Lord our God. And what's most important is that regardless of what kind of time or test we're going through, what's most important is that we pray. And that we pray this very phrase daily, often. Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. But now we're going to move on to that next phrase, the Father's deliverance. Deliver us from evil. Again, it's good to have this picture in our mind. We're coming here before our Father King, who's mighty to be saved, who's enthroned, who's often pictured, both Old Testament and New Testament. You can think of the book of Revelation as our warrior Father King, who's able to deliver. This word deliver, it's not the most common word for save or salvation in the New Testament. It's actually a similar word to the one that's often used to be saved, but it's used much more, the word save. But here is a word, deliver, that its background, it fits very closely and it fits very well with the idea of a king or a prince protecting and guiding his people. And in the New Testament, it's actually used in fairly specific ways. It's used in a sense of the need to be dragged out of danger, of being pulled or drawn. It's praying in a sense, Father, drag me away from evil. You could have a sense of that behind it. In the New Testament, it's also used in the context of deliver me from very dark, very evil things. It's used this word for deliver from death, deliver from enemies, deliver me from the body of death, Romans 7:24, from the power of darkness, from the wrath to come, 2 Timothy 4:17, deliver me from the mouth of the lion. It's used of Lot when he needed to be delivered from Sodom, 2 Peter 2, very much being dragged out of that city by the angels, literally. What we're praying here is, Lord, drag me from the worst, vilest evil, from even ultimately Satan himself, and deliver me from what would happen if Satan would get me in his clutches and if he would drag me and so I would fall into serious sin. And that means this is a prayer that a tender-hearted, a sensitive believer truly understands, one with a tender conscience. See, if you have a hardened conscience, you're not going to be praying this, are you? Really, from the heart. The believer, the poor and needy believer, the last thing they want is to slip into Satan's clutches, to be given over to the lusts of their own flesh. And as the Catechism puts it, the last thing they want is to dishonor God, to have a ruined life. That would be a sad testimony. And the reality is, Satan, he exploits tests. See, there are the good tests of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was tested in Matthew 4, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and there the tempter came to him. And it's in these dark and these discouraging times and these dry times that Satan comes and whispers and he casts doubt and he offers easier ways. So you could imagine, children, imagine if you had to write a test at school. The Lord provides these tests, and there's nothing wrong with the test itself. You sit down at your desk and in that nice classroom, can you imagine? You have to sit down and you have to write this test. But then a nasty bully comes into the room, sneaks into there, and as you're trying to focus and concentrate on that test and do your best and be very careful and conscientious and remember what you're supposed to do, that bully starts maybe shooting spitballs at you, or throwing things at you, or calling you nasty names, or discouraging you, or making fun of you, or poking at you. And that's the kind of scene you're in here. And even, perhaps, tempting you to just quit writing that test. Let's go outside and play. Let's go do something way more fun. Satan, he pretends to offer better ways, easier ways. You don't need to continue with this test, he may say, in these difficult ways. He even comes as an angel of light, the Bible tells us, offering better tests, better religion, broader roads, smoother paths, lies. And the first answer to Satan's lies is actually not first, actually, to just focus on writing a better test, so to speak, or turning this way away from him or that, or ignoring him. The first answer is not even actually to rush in headlong and throw on your armor and try to fight off Satan. The first answer and the first approach is this exact petition again. Crying out for deliverance, praying. As soon as you realize you're being tempted or tested or pulled off to the side in the wrong direction, praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, deliver us from evil. Send your Holy Spirit. Guide us. Drag me away from even the smallest and the worst, littlest inclinations. You need to understand that the key to this is praying to the Father in the name of the Son and knowing the Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been tempted, tested in every point as we are, yet without sin. The book of Hebrews teaches us that when he was in that garden and he was fighting that prayer battle, and when he was at the cross, that was all a battle, a test. And he gave himself in that test. And he laid down his life and he was crucified and he died even. But he did that all in perfection. He faced death and he died sinless, unstained. He never gave Satan the answer Satan wanted, and he never fell into the temptations. And that means that even though he died on the cross and he paid the price, that the grave couldn't hold him. It was impossible for the grave to hold him. He had the victory over evil. And the call is that in times of test and trial and temptation, that first your faith needs to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust in him, in his work, and in his deliverance, and that he has had the victory. That's the only starting point. Faith in him, bending the knee, bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of sin and believing in him and in spiritual warfare. There's this great importance of submitting to the King. James 4 verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Think of that order in James 4 verse 7. It's about spiritual warfare. But what comes first is not resist the devil and fight the battle. What comes first is submit to God. Bend the knee. Plead for his mercy and be fixed in faith on Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Be a humble disciple of him. Submit to God. Submit to his word. Read his word. Put it into practice. Think and meditate on it. Submit in prayer. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you, being given the gifts of his power. See, it begins with submission. It begins with following even his leading. That's part of the submission, that when he shepherds us on his paths, we're sensitive to his shepherding, we're listening, we're not wandering off as far as we can and living with one foot in the world as far left as we could possibly go. No, begins with submission, staying close to the shepherd, then taking up the armor he gives and the means and going to war and praying for the work of the Holy Spirit and then fighting back against Satan and with confidence that the Lord gives protection and strength and power, and most of all, confidence that even death Neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And finally, when it comes to this prayer and these two phrases, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, we really need to keep our eyes open to the reality that there's really danger on every side. Some have lived with a religion perhaps that's legalistic, pharisaical, and proud. So they start to think that not being led into temptation is just walking a certain path of their own making, checking off a few boxes, one or two commandments, well kept, maybe three or four, and others forgotten. A Pharisaism. Well, that's a danger on the one side, that there can be temptation in false religion. Think of this. The Lord Jesus called the Pharisees sons of the devil. With all their strictness and with all their religion, so to speak, bad religion, they were being conquered by temptation. They were losing. They were giving in. And then on the other side, there's the danger of no law, antinomianism, walking in worldliness. And so you see there's two dangers, again, similar to what we looked at earlier. Seems there's danger in every direction. There's the dangers of poverty, the dangers of riches, there's the dangers of legalism, pride, fake religion, a veneer of religion, and then there's the danger of worldliness. And the only answer to this is being rooted and firmly founded in Jesus Christ, in the work of our God, and even knowing him as our triune God. There's something about the Lord's Prayer that when you really study it, and also study it in its context in Luke chapter 11, you see that it's very much a triune prayer, praying to the Father in the name of the Son for the work of the Holy Spirit. And really here we see the Father, he's leading his people, he's arranging all things by his providences. It's the Son, our Redeemer, laid down his life to save and has had the victory. The Holy Spirit working in, giving strength and comfort, as the Catechism says. The Lord Jesus promises the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so let us be praying this prayer often, faithfully. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now continue with a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that you are our Father in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his work, that he is the perfect Son of God, and we rejoice in his name. We pray, O Lord, that you would forgive us our sins in his name, but that also in his name you would send the Holy Spirit, that you would equip us and comfort us and strengthen us. We pray that you would guide us by all your providences, that you would help us in times of testing, temptation. Undoubtedly, in these weeks, there are many tests. There are tests of having to live in unusual circumstances, of wrestling with fears and constant messages in the media. Oh Lord, we pray that as we face these tests, we would do so to your glory and to your honor, that you would help us to glorify your name, that you would guide us, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that you would bless us in another week, that whatever we would face, we would do so with this prayer on our lips, remembering your work and trusting that you are able and mighty to save.